Northern Kentucky University is seeking visionaries to become the leaders of tomorrow. Launch your career today and make a difference in the lives of others. Click now or visit nku.edu/leaders to get started.
Welcome to the Sheridan Report, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Make sure, if you want to bet on any of the games today, you go to TheSheridanReport.com or go to the Sheridan Report at Sheridan Report on Twitter. $10 a day or $50 a month to get all the inside information from Bobby Sheridan. Then you can take that to MyBookie.ag, click on the banner at the top of the page, and it will give you up to a $1,000 free cash bonus. If you put in $100, it'll give you $50 of free play. If you put in $2,000, it'll give you $1,000. So I am your host for the Sheridan Report, Mike Goodpaster. And right now, I would like to welcome in, of course, from the Sheridan Report, Bobby Sheridan. How you doing, Bobby?
Good morning, Mike. I'm doing great. And actually, not good morning. It's 2 o'clock for you, but it's 11 o'clock for me. And so it's still a little bit morning. I'm watching Michigan State and Ohio State following that game. And we've got Ohio State at plus 11. We're trying to stay under that number. And they've been playing pretty solid. Michigan State, as we came on air, was putting a little bit of a run. So
it's 50-44 with 12:27 left right now.
Okay, good. So, yeah, we're still in good position there. And that was a solid straight play on Ohio State. And we did put that on Twitter this morning about 9 a.m. my time. And we added that as a free Twitter play. And it was on the website since last night. So if you go on the website, usually the night before, we'll have a free play on there. So hopefully Ohio State can get us started off well. We're happy that yesterday finished really well. And we're going to try to give out two more top play winners today.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started. I know you had a huge day yesterday, so let's see if we can double down on that.
Let's do it. You know, there's a game tonight in the NBA I really like. There's two plays we have. Let me just give you the first one. That's the Clippers tonight at home against the Bulls. I think that they will rebound off of the defeat they had the other night against OKC. They're going to get Gallinari back in the lineup, and they rested him the other day, and it really upset me because I – take pride in doing a lot of homework and making sure that everything's where it should be, and I did not know they were going to rest him, and he's a big part of their offense. And you know, they played really hard against OKC, as they always do. They're much like Indiana in terms of how they're playing this year, and we think they're going to come back and get that win tonight over the Bulls, and that'll be at 7:40 Pacific tonight. But that's just a straight play, not a top play, but still, we like it. So we like the Clippers tonight, -8.5 over the Bulls. But let's talk about the top play. Those are the plays I like to kind of describe a little bit and kind of give the listener an insight as to what I'm thinking and how I handicap. And I think you got to be versatile, and experience plays a role. And I think you'll find tonight that the Wizards are in a really good spot, the Washington Wizards. And when I went on just now and checked updated lines, the lines dropped down to 3, Mike. So they were only favored by 3 over the Hornets, and this is what's going on. If you listen to Survive in Advance, we went into the Eastern Conference landscape, the top 4 and then bottom 4, and we didn't really get into the next 3. The next 3 are Orlando, Charlotte, and Washington, and they each still have a chance to catch Miami for the 8th spot, which I don't think they will. I think Miami's going to finish this out strong enough to cover, you know, to stay in there. But Washington is putting their last shot at this. They had a 5-game homestand that they started 2 games ago, and they've won both games. They're 2-0 on this homestand. They just knocked off Orlando, who's in the 9th spot. Washington's in the 11th spot. So they just knocked off Orlando in the 9th spot. Tonight they're going to knock off Charlotte in the 10th spot. So they'll knock off both teams that are just ahead of them, you know, giving them one last shot to run down Miami, who's in the 8th spot. So tonight's game specifically, these two teams just played a week ago, and there was an interesting battle in that game. Charlotte won at 112-111, but Washington's Bobby Portis was fouled inside the last couple seconds, was very upset there was no call. It was a lot of controversy. The NBA came out with a what they call a 2-minute report, and it's the referee's report, and the referees agreed that he was fouled and should have been given free throws. So they lost 112-111. They were not given the free throws, and here's the rematch tonight. And we've got changing landscapes here. For much of the year, the Hornets were the better team and had the better numbers, and it's completely reversed here. I would say in the last 2 to 3 weeks, Washington is now the sixth best offensive team efficiency-wise in the last 3 weeks in the entire NBA. So we know they can score the basketball. They're at home, and they're going to score tonight. There's no doubt about that. Now, in terms of winning the ball game, let's look at that. The Wizards are 21-12 at home, and the Charlotte's 9-23 on the road. So Washington, this is a four-game series. Each team has won on its home court. It's 2-1 Charlotte, and this will be the fourth game. I think Washington will win this and even the series and pick up another game there in that last push towards the eighth spot. Well, Charlotte's lost two straight, lost 12 of 16. The threesome of Bradley Beal, Thomas Bryant, and Jabari Parker, of all people. That's an older name that was supposed to be a big name player in the NBA. It hasn't worked out, but it's working out well in Washington. He's doing a great job for them, and he's kind of giving them a lot of, solidifying them, their front court. And so this is a team that's playing their best ball late, and let's just see if they can find something. And I definitely think they've got something tonight. So we like the Wizards tonight a whole lot, -3 over the Charlotte Hornets.
All right, Bobby, what about college basketball today?
College basketball, this was a late ad. If you bought the report last night or you, it became a late ad because it wasn't on the report because there was no line. In the Pac-12, we've won 7 of our last 8, and we've hit 3 in a row in this tournament. So I was definitely looking for another one of these spots and hoping I could find something, and we did. I really feel like I have a great read on this conference now after struggling with it for a lot of the year, but we described this yesterday. We talked about it. Sometimes you stick with something, you stick with it, and finally it clicks, and I think we've got this conference nailed now. So I was looking to play a game, and I found one tonight. We're going to take the Oregon Ducks tonight. It's a late start. It'll be an 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern start. So, you might go to bed and wake up and have a winner, or you might stay up late and watch it. It'll be worth watching. Oregon's playing Arizona State. This is the semifinals, and the winner will play the other matchup, which is Washington and
Colorado.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, there was no play there for me. So, probably Washington, but, whoever wins there, Oregon, I think, is going to get to the finals. Now, you've got Oregon really needing to win this for the make sure you're in the tournament, you got to win this.
Yeah, no matter what Bill Walton says, they've got to win the tournament.
They've got to win. Yeah, I agree with you. And, they've got to win the tournament. And they know they got to win the tournament. Now, when I did some extra research on this game, Arizona State feels they're in. When you listen to their staff, when you listen to the beat reporters around the team, listen to the columnists, they feel they're in. Now, I don't know that that's the case. Whether it is or whether it isn't, I'm not a bracketology guy. But I know Oregon doesn't think they're in. And Oregon, Mike, is the best team in the conference right now as we speak. And why are they? Because they found their identity. They are the best defensive team in that conference, and it's not close. They are holding teams down big time over the last 3-4 weeks. They have put their foot down, and they're making a run. And I'm so proud of that team because they lost their lottery pick. They lost their Romeo, who was named as Bull, Manute Bull's son. They lost him very, very early. And one thing I was really impressed is, he's traveled with the team. Every trip they've made, he's been on the bench with them. And that's a testament to Dana Altman. The guy is one of the best coaches in the nation. They just rewarded him on Thursday, yesterday, with a new contract that extends him through 2025. So, obviously, they love the job he's done with this team this year. And this team is playing great defense. And they just got through pounding Arizona State 15 days ago. They beat them 79-51 at home. Now, we know the home court is huge in college basketball. We know that. Okay? But one thing I want to mention, that is the game that got them really going. They haven't lost since. So Oregon is on a run right now. They're on a roll, and they out-rebounded Arizona State by 59-31. I'm going by memory. It may have been 59-41. I think it was 59-31 in that game. And they turned the ball over a few less times. Okay, Arizona State thrives on turnovers. So Oregon's not turning the ball over, and they're grabbing all the rebounds. So how do you beat them? Well, you don't. They got beat. They got pounded. I went back a little bit further just to see, okay, first meeting, what happened? When Arizona State was really playing their best ball, Arizona State did beat them back when Oregon wasn't playing there as well. This was back in January. Beat them by double digits, I want to say 15. But I looked at the two numbers. Turnovers were even, and Oregon out-rebounded them. So that'll translate. That'll come right into this game. The rebounding mismatch will stay. Oregon's not going to turn the ball over. That'll stay. So we're going to win those two battles. We're playing sounder defense. Arizona State's up and down. You watched their game yesterday against UCLA, which I did not have a wager on, but I went back and watched some of that game. Up and down runs, 13-0 runs, 12-2 runs, just, you know, that type of ball where Oregon is playing steady, good defense, and that is going to get them the win tonight. They are favored by two points. They were 2.5 when I first saw, just went on there now, and they're down to 2 points. And that's a fair line. Let me give the listeners an update. When they just played in Oregon, which was the 15th, this is before Oregon really went on their run, Oregon was favored 3.5 at Oregon. So now they're playing on a neutral court, favored 2.5, 2. You would think, well, hey, maybe that's Arizona State getting some value. No, because Oregon's ranking has gone up 2, 3, 4 points since that game. So you have a team that's really accelerating right now, and we're going to ride it. And I think they're going to get to the finals. And I actually think they're going to win, whoever they play, Washington or Colorado. But let's save that for the next show. So let's go Oregon, -2 in the Pac-12 tonight. Late start, 8:30 Pacific, Oregon over Arizona State.
All right. We got anything else ATP-wise or anything else?
No, it's a very calm day for early risers. There's no ATP today. Both semifinals, it's Federer in one of them and Nadal in the other, and I'm not going to tempt fate there. We're going to just lay off of that. I do have an ATP play tomorrow, just in case the fans and listeners want to look at that. It's Dominic Thiem, who had a walkover yesterday. His opponent, Monfils, had to retire with Achilles problem, which there was a ton of people showed up there to watch that match, and they got disappointed. But they're going to see Thiem play the Canadian. Lucas Weiss's Canadian, Rionic, is going to play Thiem tomorrow in the semifinal. And I like Thiem. Thiem's getting $1.55. No start time in that yet, but that'll be probably in the afternoon. And if you just want to watch some good tennis, though, Nadal and Federer are on starting right now. I think Federer is the first match, and Nadal will follow him. And in the PGA, I have one matchup today. It's already started, though, and it was on the report. Shoffley -0.5. So it's no use talking about it. It's already gone. It started at 10:25 this morning. Shoffley over Rose in a matchup. So nothing really to talk about there. But I do have on this day.
All right. And before we get to on this day, we were going to check a commercial from our sponsor, MyBookie.ag. We'll be back with on this day in 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Hi, I'm Mike Goodpasser from the Grueling Truth Sports Network, and I'm here with just one simple message. If you're watching the games, it's time to start making money. The Grueling Truth has recently partnered with MyBookie.ag, an industry-leading sportsbook website, who reminds you that where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why The Grueling Truth urges you to check out MyBookie.ag. In addition to the usual thousands of odds, money lines, proposition bets, and futures offered on MyBookie.ag daily, they also have in-game live betting and a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. So join now and MyBookie will give you up to a free $1,000 cash bonus on your first deposit. Just enter promo code TGT50, that's TGT50, to take advantage of this offer. You can also go to thegruelingtruth.net, click the banner at the top of the page for MyBookie.ag, and also get the same benefit and the same $1,000 free cash bonus on your first deposit. So visit MyBookie.ag, courtesy of The Grueling Truth, and enjoy winning today. MyBookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid.
All right, guys, we're back on the Sheridan Report, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Make sure you go click the banner at the top of the GruelingTruth.net page. I am Mike Goodpaster, sitting here with Bobby Sheridan from the Sheridan Report. What do you got for On This Day, Bobby?
Yeah, one moment, Mike. We'll get on this day in about 30 seconds, and I should have talked about this before the break, but a couple of notes. LeBron James out tonight, Lakers Pistons, in case anyone's interested in that. Load management, you know. So he's out of that game. And while everyone's watching Duke and North Carolina at 6:30, I'm going to have my eyes on a game I'm not betting, but I'm going to watch pretty well this game, Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat. That's a big game to watch because that right now is the first-round matchup in the Eastern Conference. And I want to see how that game plays out tonight because this Miami Heat team is interesting to me. I didn't want to bet this game, but that's just a game I wanted the fans to just take a look at tonight or at least follow the score. Because that might be an interesting matchup coming up in the first round of the playoffs. So just want to mention those little notes, and I'm ready for On This Day if you are.
Well, Bobby, real quick, Michigan State 63, Ohio State 49, 8 minutes left.
All right, it's getting away from Ohio State, so it's going to take a miracle here to cover this. But
well, not a miracle. It's an 11-point spread, and you're only down 3. So you'll be all right, maybe.
All right.
Trying to be positive.
The flow of that game, though, is they were in it to win it, and now they're down 14. They know they're not going to win it.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I was trying to
just be positive, Bobby. I'm sorry.
I know. That might be a loser. I hope not, guys, those who took the free play on that. But we still got a shot, as Mike said. Let's do the On This Day, Mike. And I'm always excited to talk boxing because I'm not a boxing aficionado, but I like it. I love it, and I love hearing about it. And I'm lucky to have you as a friend because you are. And in 1985, you know, this might not have been a significant, you know, matchup that people in history remember, but this is a boxer that I like, and you've interviewed him numerous times for the legends. And it's Larry Holmes. On this day in 1985, he TKO'd a guy by the name of David Bay. And I've never heard of him, Mike, but David Bay, B-E-Y, he TKO'd him in 10. For the heavyweight title, 1985.
Yeah, that was for the IBF World Heavyweight Championship, and that was he had a falling out with Don King, and he basically went to Robert W. Lee, who was the president of the IBF, who was new, and this was how the IBF, the International Boxing Federation, got some traction to be a major organization because everybody considered Larry Holmes the champion. He'd beaten Jerry Cooney in 1982 in a great fight at Caesar's Palace and one of the most important fights in boxing history. He follows that up. He beats Randall Tex Cobb, who he thrashes over 15 rounds. He beat Cobb so bad that Howard Cosell got so disgusted that he quit. And then you come through a point where Holmes is fighting guys that are probably less than relevant as heavyweights. I mean, he fights in Scranton, his hometown, against the European champion who was named Lucien Rodriguez, who he beat. I think that was on NBC Sports on a Saturday afternoon, and it was a boring fight. He dominated him. He comes back 2 months later, and he fights Tim Witherspoon, who was 15-0. Tim Witherspoon is another guy that I've interviewed on this show. I've had Cooney on also. But Witherspoon was a guy who was very talented, but he'd had a short amateur career. He actually got his legs by sparring with Muhammad Ali at Deer Lake, Pennsylvania, to help Ali get ready for his 1980 heavyweight title clash, ill-fated title clash with Larry Holmes. Witherspoon was a Don King guy. I think Don King thought that Witherspoon was safe and wouldn't cause any troubles for Holmes. And it ended up being a split decision. I think Holmes won the fight. I think people just thought overall that Witherspoon didn't have a chance, and I think they kind of overdid what he accomplished there. But he fought a great fight. It was a hell of a fight. Then 4 months later, he's back on NBC TV, and he's fighting a guy by the name of Scott Frank, who was 20-0-1. And his main claim to fame was fighting a 12-round draw with Ronaldo Snipes, who had given Holmes trouble a couple years before. Frank didn't win a round in the fight against Snipes, I don't think, but Frank had the right, as they say, complexion, which gave him the connections. And he got a chance at Holmes, and Holmes dominated him through 5 rounds. And Frank and Rodriguez were two of the worst contenders to ever fight for the lineal heavyweight championship of the world. And that fight was so easy. 2 months later on NBC again, he fought Marvis Frazier. And that was Smokin' Joe Frazier's son. Marvis Frazier at the time was 10-0. So when you look at this, his defenses after Cooney were Randy Cobb. And Cobb had a couple solid wins, and he lost a close decision to Michael Dokes. But Lucian Rodriguez was a tomato can. Tim Witherspoon was young. Scott Frank didn't belong there. And Marvis Frazier was 10-0. And probably his best win was against an old Joe Bugner, who was better 10 years ago and was at the end of his prime. Or not even the end of his prime. His prime was probably 5 or 6 years before the Marvis Frazier fight. He destroys Frazier in like a minute or so. And then he actually doesn't fight for an entire year. And he comes back a year later and he fights James Bonecrusher Smith. And Smith's a big dude, but he was only 14-1. He could punch. He'd upset Frank Bruno in England to get that ranking. But Holmes beat him, but he did have trouble with him. Now, David Bay was another kid. He was 14-0. So they're putting Holmes against the guys that are nowhere near ready to fight him. And David Bay earned his title shot by upsetting Greg Page, who we talked about a few days ago. He won a unanimous 12-round decision. The only problem was Greg Page had a tendency to not be in shape. Neither did David Bay. And David Bay was a guy that did not belong in this situation, but he was a talented guy. And, you know, the first three or four rounds, David Bay actually did all right. From what I remember, he neutralized Holmes' right, and he hit Holmes with a hook high on the chest. I think, this is off of memory, I think it was in the second or third round, and Holmes, after the fight, said, he got my attention. He said, but the big thing is this, when you hurt me, the only thing I'd do is say, all right, let's dance, which is what he did. If you watch him in 1979, he gets dropped by Ernie Shavers, and it's as bad as I've ever seen anybody get knocked down and still get up, because it looked like he got shot by a gun. And Ernie Shavers is maybe the greatest puncher in heavyweight boxing history. And Holmes didn't just get up and survive. Holmes gets up and wins the rest of the round and ends up stopping Shavers. Same thing happened. He fought Mike Weaver, who was nicknamed Hercules. We've interviewed Shavers and Weaver about this fight on the show. You can find that on the Boxing Legends show. And he comes back, knocks Weaver out. Ronaldo Snipes knocks him down. He comes back, knocks him out. And in this fight, after about four rounds, Bay had a really awkward style, but the one thing Holmes had in his corner was an old trainer by the name of Eddie Futch. And Larry Holmes was trying to counter David Bay, if I remember right. And I remember in between the fourth and fifth rounds, this fight was on HBO, Eddie Futch tells him, quit trying to counter him. He said, you got to get off first. He said, and when he counters, you counter his counter. So you're giving him two punches to one. He said, and you need to smother him and not give him any room, because Bay wasn't in real good shape. And by the time you get to the eighth round, Holmes's jab is just killing Bay. And Larry, I think, ended up stopping him in the 10th round. And after that, he fights on NBC again against Carl the Truth Williams. Same thing. Carl the Truth Williams had only had 16 fights. It was a much closer fight than people thought it would be. And then, of course, in September, I think it was September 21st of 1985, he fought Michael Spinks, and he was 48-0 at a time, had a chance to make it 49-0, just like Rocky Marciano. Spinks wins a close decision. I do think Spinks won that fight. The thing that stood out to me, though, is we talked about Eddie Futch and how important Eddie Futch was in Larry Holmes' corner against that David Bay. But the problem was, Eddie Futch was also the trainer for Michael Spinks. So Futch refused to train either one of them when they fought each other, because they were like sons to him. So Larry Holmes ended up with Richie Giacchetti in his corner. And Richie Giacchetti was basically just a Don King goon. And he had trained Holmes earlier in his career. But I think in the end, it could have had a lot to do with it. And the other thing it had a lot to do with it is I remember watching that fight on HBO, and I've still got the DVD now. And when you watch that fight, before the fight, there's like a half hour or like a 10-15 minute special about Spinks and how he went from being 175 pounds to bulking up to like 200 pounds. And Spinks had brought in a New Orleans nutritionist named Mackie Shillstone, who basically put him on a diet that was basically made up of vegetables and grains. I think it was like 4,500 calories, 65% carbohydrates, something like that. He also ran differently because traditionally a boxer would go out and run 3-4 miles to train for a fight.
Right.
But what he did was he took him, and actually ever since I watched this when I was like a sophomore or junior in high school, and ever since then, I mean, once I started coaching 5 or 6 years later, this is the way I trained all my teams all the time. And that was instead of running distances, because distances give you slow twitch muscle fiber. By doing quick burst, you're getting fast twitch muscle fiber, which is if you're a football player or a basketball player or a boxer, that's what you need. So Shillstone right. would take him out and have him run as hard as he could for a minute. And then he would have him walk for 30 seconds to try to recover. Then he would sprint again. And the thing that struck me was that in that fight from about the fourth round on, Spinks looked like he was about to die. He was breathing so hard in between rounds. And you've got the guys, it wasn't Jim Lampley at the time, I can't remember who it was, but Larry Merchant, and they're all saying, well, Spinks looks like he's already tired. He's done. And I'm thinking, no, they just showed you how he trained. And the way he trained was he went as hard as he could. And then he would breathe really deep to try to get that back. And that's what he did in that fight. So from the fourth round to the 15th round, he breathed like that every round. And then as soon as the bell would ring, he's calm and he's coming out and he's fighting. And I just think that Mackie Shillstone is the guy that never gets enough credit for it. But I also think not enough people look at the fact that Eddie Futch wasn't in Holmes's corner. And here's one for you. Holmes was actually... This was one of the biggest upsets in heavyweight prize fighting history for the world championship because Holmes entered that fight as a 6-1 favorite over Spinks. And you know how people talk about what a big underdog Clay was when he beat Liston. Clay was a 7-1 underdog when he beat him.
Wow. So yeah, just the same, you know, 6-1, 7-1, same realm, you know?
Yeah. And it was probably because I remember I had to watch this fight because I lived in Indiana in a place where you couldn't get HBO or anything. But the guy that lived right next to my house, his name was Larry Grubar. He was the manager at a Sears store downtown in Lawrenceburg, which is, I lived in Aurora, the town next to it. So what I would do was when there was a boxing match, he would actually set a VCR at the Sears store to record it and then bring it to me Monday when he got off work. But this was a fight that I wanted to see so bad there was no way to see it, but it was the last heavyweight title fight that was broadcast on the radio. And I remember sitting there, I listened to the entire card, I listened to the fight on the radio, and I think that maybe Kirk Gowdy called the fight on the radio with Bob Sheridan. So I remember to this day, September 1985, as a sophomore in high school, listening to Holmes and Spinks, and that was the last, as far as I know, the last boxing match to be played on the radio nationwide.
Yeah, that is really interesting. That was 1985. Wow, that's huge right there, Mike. And you said Bob Sheridan, and I've known of him, you know, being a legendary announcer. You know, that's my name.
We got the same damn names. Everybody's always at you related to him.
No one ever says that. They say, are you related to Danny Sheridan?
Oh, yeah, but Bob Sheridan. See, I'm a boxing guy. So when I hear Bob Sheridan, yes. Bob Sheridan called every major fight ever, but he was always like the secondary broadcast because he was right. The announcer for Don King Productions. So if you go on YouTube, like Ollie Spinks won, which was another huge upset where Spinks beat Ollie in the first fight in 1978. The only broadcast you can find it at is either the English version or the Bob Sheridan version. The actual original version on CBS Sports was Brent Musburger doing the fight, I believe, with Gil Clancy or Tom Brookshire, which I actually did eventually find somebody had a recording of that. So I got that now, too. But
oh, that's nice. Yeah, and Brent Musburger, he's still kicking, man. He's doing the Raiders home game. You know, isn't that something?
Yeah, you are looking live.
Yeah, he's cool, and you know, he's still around, and lives up in Vegas now, and he has a show on VSiN Network that he does at 3 o'clock in the weekday. And I don't listen to it because I don't find it really fits anything that I really need, but I respect him a lot. To hear you say he was on that call, boy, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he was on that call in 1978, and he was on the NFL Today show, what, 76, 77? Hell, Bryant Gumbel was on the NFL Today show from about 78 or 79 on, so.
I just posted a picture on my Twitter that I found of the 79 NFL Today. It had Jimmy the Greek, and it had Jane Kennedy, and a young Musburger, and
Phyllis George, Irv Cross.
Irv Cross, and who was the older gentleman, the last one?
Jack Whitaker?
Jack Whitaker. I found out he's still alive, Mike. He's turned 95 years old.
Really? He looked like he was 95 years old in 1979.
I couldn't believe it. When I read that, I researched it on Twitter. Someone wished him a happy birthday at 95.
Has he got a Twitter page?
Oh, he didn't have a Twitter page. It was somebody, you know.
Wonder who the oldest person is that has a Twitter page.
No, I'm not saying he had his own Twitter page.
I know, but I wish he did, because then we could get him on the show, maybe.
That would be unbelievable, yeah.
All right, guys.
Figure 1980 is like 40 years ago, so he was 55 then? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, he looked older than that. But.
Yeah, he looked older than that. And he was only on every once in a while. They'd bring him on for like a thought or a moment. But I know this. I was absolutely in love with Jane Kennedy. So
I was, too. That's the only reason I used to watch that show on the weekends when she'd walk around and interview guys, just to watch her walk around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was fine. She's a little chunky nowadays, but that's all right. It happens. So
yeah,
am I nowadays.
She didn't age that well, to be honest.
Well, how many people? You know, most people that age well because they have enough money to do a bunch of plastic surgery. But then they usually overdo it and look even worse than what they would have. They'd have just left it alone to begin with.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah. Dolly Parton. You think she gets her boobs redone every couple of years?
Yeah.
Well, those are natural from what she said. But, all right, are you talking about what we just talked about or Dolly Parton's boobs?
Everything.
But all right,
the best stuff was what we talked about, Larry Holmes. I appreciate that, Mike. And that's you do all that off of your head, and I respect you so much for your boxing knowledge and your history and your passion for it. And anytime we get a chance to talk boxing, I love it. And I want to get Ramos. You said you'd get him on. I want to get him on. So,
all right, I'll give him a call later today, see what he's doing tomorrow, and we will plan on doing a show at like 2 o'clock tomorrow. And if I don't get Alex, I'll get somebody on to talk Spence Garcia for 10 minutes or so. We'll have our normal NBA picks, our NCAA picks, and we're getting close to March Madness, which is going to be a lot of fun.
We are, you know, and it is going to be fun, and we're looking forward to it. And then the NBA playoffs, and then, you know, my bread and butter is the MLB. So, I mean, it's time to make some money. It's time to focus in and get the job done.
All right, guys. So we're going to wrap it up. Remember, you can find the Sheridan Report at Sheridan Report on Twitter, thesheridanreport.com on the internet. $10 a day, you get Bobby's Sheridan Report, which is an invaluable resource, especially if you want to jump over and use it on mybookie.ag, where whatever amount of money you put in, you'll get a 50% cash bonus up to $1,000. You can click on the banner on thegruelinggroup.net. Also, I would highly recommend, if you're going to do one day at a Sheridan Report, you can do one day to try it out. Then you're going to be hooked anyways. But you can get the entire month for $50. So make sure you check that out also. Tonight, we will be live at 11 o'clock Eastern with a preview of Mikey Garcia versus Errol Spence tomorrow night, plus all the undercard fights. So make sure you check us out at 11 o'clock tomorrow night with that. Also, tonight we will have that at 11. Tomorrow we'll do the Sheridan Report, and we'll talk about it there. Also, you can follow thegruelingtruth.net because we've got probably 10 to 15 at least of the best boxing writers in the entire country, not just Grueling Truth writers, who are all giving us a brief synopsis of who they think will win the fight, why they think they'll win the fight. That article should be up either later this afternoon, somewhere between this afternoon and tomorrow morning. So if you want coverage on Garcia Spence, make sure you stay with the GruelingTruth.net because I think we have the best boxing writers anywhere. And, you know, when you do stuff and the Ring magazine is retweeting it constantly, you're doing something right because we're better than the Ring magazine. But we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up. Remember, you can hear all of our shows on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere. We are on over 180 platforms. So make sure you're always looking for thegruelingtruth.net. So for Bobby Sheridan, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When it comes to safety, nothing is more important than your vehicle's brakes. If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like BrakeBest and BrakeBest Select at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brakes from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
There's a new O'Reilly Auto Parts store in Trenton on West State Street. Stop by the grand opening celebration now through March 26th and receive 50% off on select items. You'll find everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories at everyday low prices. Visit the new O'Reilly Auto Parts store in Trenton. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.